For a quick minute. Lord, we thank you and we bless you because you first loved us, you chose us, and you've blessed us, Lord. Even when we didn't know you were blessing us, Lord, you were. So we thank you for that. Now we ask that you would speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way as we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, decaying, fallen world. We need your light in 2017 more than we did in 2016, Lord. Illuminate the path, Lord, through your word, so we know where to go, what to say, what to do, how to live, how not to live. We thank you, Lord. Speak to us now. Our hearts are open to receive what you will say to us this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. We'll start at verse 34. Acts 10 and 34. So for those of us that are going to our appreciation, as we appreciate the congregation, I like the way that sounds, the congregation appreciation, suggested donation is $5. You can see Lady Tracy for that, for the $5, either here or at Hometown Buffet. Everyone's welcome. If you don't have the $5, then you just come and pretend to put something in and come and enjoy yourself. Amen? Amen. It's not about the money. It's about the fellowship. It's our end of the year fellowship and reflection. We have a program. I just found out that I'll be speaking. Amen. All right. No, Sister Hazel told me a few days ago. I'm not going to say much, but it's more about the fellowship. We'll have testimonies. We'll have, I think we have video and pictures of the year and reflection. It's going to be really nice. So come out and enjoy the fellowship of South Bay Abundant Life Church. Remember, we don't do religious things. We do relationship things. So it's not a religious thing. It's a relationship thing. Also, Brother John and Brother Clarence would like to invite the young men out, our college age young men, which would be like Justin and Jalen and Elijah and some of the other guys, to breakfast on Wednesday. So see Brother John or see Brother Clarence for breakfast on Wednesday. They just sow into your life and be a blessing like that. Amen?
Amen.
I think those are all the announcements so far today. Happy New Year's. Good to see you all. It's a blessing to be here another year. Amen?
Amen.
So if you would look at Acts 10 and 34, and let me just start off talking about the new year. As Christians, what do we celebrate and what makes it a new year? Make a note if you haven't already. I've said it a million times or less, that for Christians, we celebrate Jesus Christ splitting time in half as 2017 AD. Before that, it was BC when Christ resurrected. It split time in half. So really, this should have more like an Easter feel where we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But as the world is, it flips it upside down. And we think the holiday of the new year is more about us getting our life together when we should be celebrating really what Christ done for us when he resurrected from the cross.
Amen.
Amen? From the grave after dying on the cross. So it's really, I mean, this is really a special day. And as you're out ministering or just sharing with other people, just ask them what makes it a new year. Who created the new year? Jesus Christ split time in half. It should be right there with Christmas, his birth, Easter, his resurrection, New Year, when he split time in half. They're non-religious holidays, you know, like the 4th of July, Father's Day, Mother's Day. Good days, but they don't deal with Christ and Christ splitting time in half. You have Valentine's Day and then you have your birthday. That's all about you. Amen. Yeah, those are not, but these make it, flip it and make it about Jesus Christ, splitting time in half. Amen. Had quite a few people that passed away this year and the world would call them great, but none resurrected. non-resurrected. There were some good people that passed away, but they didn't split time in half, and they didn't resurrect after 3 days. You all know most of us know the famous guy, Harry Houdini. They go to his grave on Halloween. I forgot to mention it around Halloween time. His followers go to his grave waiting for him to escape death. It's not going to happen. Jesus Christ, the only one, he conquered death. Then he told us what was on the other side and how to get there. So the new year is really, it's really a special, special day for us. And we're going to celebrate Communion Sunday as well. So I better get started before I ad lib and talk. I was telling John, I talked to him one of these days this week, yeah, Friday or Saturday. I was saying on New Year's Day, you could just come and just talk and not even have to get into the word. What are you going to preach about? I don't know. I'm going to just talk. Well, y'all know better than that. Amen. Did I say it? Acts 10 and 34. And I want this to be in the context of Jesus Christ splitting time in half. Peter is talking to the Gentiles because initially salvation was only for the Jews or through the Jewish lineage. But God showed him that salvation is for everyone. Make a note, God doesn't discriminate. If he did, none of us would be here because nobody could earn it and nobody deserves it. So God doesn't discriminate. He showed Peter in a vision. He showed some Gentiles in a vision that God says everybody can be saved. No one's more inclusive than God. God said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God doesn't discriminate. People do, but God doesn't. So verse 34 says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is not a respecter of persons. Make a note. God could care less about you and I and our titles and our color and all that kind of stuff. God could care less. God goes right to the heart and wants to see where is your heart. Is Christ in your heart or not? That's it. We could not earn it. We could not work for it. God could care less about how big our bank account is or how small it is. Where we come from, whether it's Mexico or Africa or Asia or anywhere else, God could care less about that stuff. God's not going to respect you because you come from your parents, you come from money, or you come from broke. It doesn't matter to God. Peter says, look, I'm telling you right now, God is not a respecter of persons. If you're thinking you're going to earn your way to get to God or you're going to have so many titles that God is going to love you, then you're wrong. Amen. Verse 35, but in every nation, he that reverence, he that fears God, if anybody fears God and lives right, works righteousness, he is a candidate to be rescued by God. So he says in verse 35, it's all about our perception, how we live for God, what we think about God, how we're committed to God. Verse 36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace, underlying peace by Jesus Christ. Peace does not come through war. You can't legislate peace. You can't write a peace treaty and expect there to be peace. It does not come through pencil and paper. It does not come through war. You can't go beat somebody up or shoot somebody and kill somebody and say we need to have peace. It doesn't work. It comes through Jesus Christ alone. And even if they put up a front because they've been oppressed or because they've been conquered, the peace in their heart only could come from Jesus Christ. The peace in 2017 is only going to come into your heart through Jesus Christ, not through stuff. Amen. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Underline that if you don't have it underlined already. Because he split time in half and started this whole thing over and gave us the opportunity to be rescued. Thank you, Lord, for that. Verse 37, the word I say, you know, which was published or proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism of John, baptism which John preached. So Peter's telling him, you all have an idea of God. All right. He says, the word I say, you know. So He's saying, you have some idea of God, but I need to break down Jesus Christ to you. It's just like before we accepted Christ, we had an idea of God. I know personally I had an idea of God, but I didn't know anything about the life of Jesus Christ. I just knew somebody created all this. So that's what Peter's telling you. You kind of know about God, but let me break down the gospel. Okay? So some people know about God, but they don't know about the gospel. And they can't deny what Jesus Christ has done because Jesus Christ has split time in half. It all depends on what you believe about Jesus Christ. It's no question that he existed or not. That's not the issue. The issue is, who is he to you? Is he Lord, or is he just a prophet? Is he just a good man? Is he a lunatic? Is he a figment of our imagination? That's what you have to decide. But it's no question, because we're celebrating 2017, that he split time in half. 2017 AD, annual dominion, the year of our Lord. So it's no question. We can go right past that and get to, who is God to you? And since your eternal salvation is riding on it, you and I should want to know if Jesus Christ is really who he says he is. Did he really split time in half? Either it's a new year, or somebody's played a joke on the whole world. Either new year is a fraud, or Jesus Christ is Lord and split time in half. You got to make your decision. They celebrated new year all throughout the world. The Jewish calendar, they're still in 5775. They dated all the way back. I made a note. They believe that the world began 5,777 years ago on Saturday night, October 6th, according to the Jewish calendar. It's pretty cool. So if you're not Jewish and you celebrate the new year, then what are you celebrating? It's a new year because it's a new year. No, it's not. It's a new year because Christ split time in half. Either somebody's played a joke on the whole world, or we really need to consider what a new year means. So here we go. Peter breaks down the gospel. Verse 38, how God anointed Jesus, or how God approved Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And that word power is dunamis power, which means the ability. The ability, the force, the strength, wonderful, mighty, inherent power to perform miracles. God appointed, anointed, and approved Jesus with that type of power. Amen. Now, the other power, which is not spoken here, is the Azusa power, which is talks about the authority. We know God has that too, but now he's speaking of the power to perform miracles and to be mighty, to be wonderful. And look how it speaks of God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. So make a note, it speaks of the Trinity. All right there. And even includes Lucifer in this, who was fourth in charge. So you got the four tops, so to speak. All right. God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, and Lucifer, before he rebelled and became Satan. You got him covered. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Underline that. Oppression comes from the devil. It is a spirit. It's a spirit influenced by Satan. I'm not being oppressed by the white man. I'm not being oppressed by my brothers who's driving by shooting me. I'm not being oppressed by my job, my boss. I'm being oppressed by someone who's been influenced by Satan. And the only way to get healed from that is through Jesus Christ. Not by trying to fight him, not by trying to shoot him, not by trying to get it involved too seriously. And you know, we all should vote. We should do our thing. But in this orderly system of deception, the cosmos, which is the world, this chaotic, orderly system of deception is being influenced by Lucifer to oppress people. And we see it every day. And God healed that. And the only way he can heal that is through Jesus Christ. You're not going to jump into a corrupt system which is controlled by Satan, and you're not going to overcome it by yourself. You're not going to overcome it through legislation because it's already corrupt. Jesus told him, the ruler of this world, he's coming. We know that Satan rules this world. If you don't, make a note of it. God is all powerful. God and Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, are allowing him to. But he's ruling this thing. And if you don't believe me, take a look. Go home and watch the news and watch how somebody went to, as they were celebrating the new year in Turkey last night, just walked in, shot the guy, the guard at the door, and then killed 39 people. Last night. Happy New Year. This orderly system of chaotic, systematic corruption is being influenced by Satan to oppress each and every one of us. And the only cure for that is through Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual battle. If you're still getting upset with people, you got a lot of maturing to do. This whole thing is spiritual. Look what it says. The end of verse 38. All that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The only way you're going to fight this thing is through Jesus Christ and knowing that God is with you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Being led by God in 2017. Otherwise, you're going to have a frustrated 2017 trying to do it on your own. Peter's just breaking down the gospel. Verse 39, he says, we are all witnesses. Make a note of that. He says, we are all witnesses. But that word witness means we are all martyrs. That word witness, Peter said, we're all martyrs. Those who, after Christ's example, have proved the strength and genuineness of their faith in Christ by undergoing a violent death. Peter's telling these Gentiles, look, you guys are getting ready to get into something that we're witnesses of. But no, we're martyrs. We're getting ready to die for this. He used the future tense. He said, we haven't done it yet, but we're getting ready to die for this because we believe in this. And so we're witnesses of what Jesus Christ did. You're looking at people, you're witnessing us, and we're getting ready to die for what we believe in. We're witnesses of that. We're getting ready to die for it. So if you guys are getting ready to get on this train, this Christian train, just know we're witnesses and we're taking this. We're going to live for him and then we're going to die a violent death for him. And to their word, John was the only one that died a natural death. The other 11 were crucified. They were killed with swords. You read Acts chapter 12. We're doing that on Wednesday nights in Bible study. Acts chapter 12, it starts off with James getting killed by the sword. Look at Acts 12 and 1 really quickly. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to kill certain of the church. Isn't that something? Here's the king. Tried to kill Christ before he was born. Now he's killing those within the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Okay? That's how it's getting down. That's how they're doing it. So Peter already told him, we're witnesses of Jesus Christ. And we're going to die for this. If we can see, he's speaking in the future tense, we're going to have to die for this thing. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed and hung on a tree. He's speaking of Jesus Christ. Now he's giving them the gospel. This is the good news. Doesn't start off good. Wow, what's good about being killed and hung on a tree? Hold up. It's not over yet. Verse 40. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Make a note of that. This is the new year. This is it being split in half on that third day. Make a note of that. Openly means that God says, in the Greek, showed him openly, delivered him openly, or presented him openly, or furnished Christ openly. So Peter is telling them of the good news of Jesus Christ. We are all witnesses of things which he did both in the land of the Jews in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on a tree. Verse 40, God raised him up the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people, but unto the witnesses chosen. That word chosen means elected in advance before God. You should feel good because you've been chosen. You've been elected in advance. Amen. Thank you, to be a child of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. For whatever reason, sovereignty of God, everybody didn't get elected. But those of us that have genuinely accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we've been elected. It says it right here in the scripture. Some days I know we don't feel like we've been elected. Somebody say amen. When you're going through persecution, you don't feel like you've been elected. But the truth is, you and I have been elected. Look what this said. Who did eat? Make a note. This is so powerful. Who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead? Peter is saying we ate and we drank with Christ after he resurrected. Amen. That's powerful. And see, you know that Peter and those guys, their life were changed. You could look at Acts 1 and 3. It talks about how Jesus spent 40 days with them after he was resurrected. And he was talking about the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He was teaching them about the things because their life miraculously changed before and after the resurrection. Remember, they were hiding and they were cussing people out saying they don't even know Jesus. Now, all of a sudden, Peter's saying, we're getting ready to die for this. It would have been easy just to hide and keep cussing people out and say, I don't even know Christ. Why'd it change? Because of resurrected Christ. And not only that, they ate and they drank with him. So it shows in our resurrected bodies, we could still eat and drink if we like. You know that Christ liked fish and you know he liked wine. So for you sipping saints, y'all can get excited. When you resurrected, you can get you some wine. You can have wine before and after. That's kind of cool. Yeah, get happy about that. They said they ate and drank after he was resurrected. Fish, bread, and wine. That's just what I'm speculating they had. Amen. Bless you. But listen, they said after he rose from the dead. And then look. And he commanded us to preach, which means to proclaim. And somebody said it this way, you know, preach with words, preach with your life and sometimes use words. Amen. He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained. He was ordained of God to judge for the quick and the dead. Wow. Make a note, Jesus judges us while we are alive, and Jesus will judge us after we die. He's the arbiter, where we get the word arbitration from. Going to stand before God. And it's going to be like, Tracy and I, we got on this thing. Now, we used to watch Rifleman all the time, late at night. That used to be our kind of like late night, let's watch a Rifleman episode. But now we're into these court shows. Judge Ross, Hot Bench, Judge Maybelline. Folks are crazy. Y'all know that people are crazy out there. I can't even believe some of the stuff they take people to court for. It is like absolutely ridiculous. Judge Karen, another good one. But the judge sits there and they have that gavel. And you listen to this side, you listen to that side. I try and figure out the court, the case. Okay, how would I rule? But the judge says, this is my decision. Bam, that's it. Then afterwards, they ask him, well, I don't agree with the judge's decision. Oh, well, the judge has ruled. You're going to stand before, you and I, we're going to stand before Christ. And we're going to say, but you know, I meant to. And you know, and I was. He's going to say, bam. That's it. Is their name in the book? Either unto eternal life or not unto eternal separation from God. Somebody might want to ask you, what do you think about the judge's decision? Well, I don't think it's fair. Well, okay. Well, you got eternity in hell to kind of contemplate how unfair it was. And it is final. Jesus, when he resurrected, he split time in half. He cut all the excuses in half too. You cannot tell God. You cannot tell Jesus. They don't understand what it was like to live on this crazy, fallen, broken world. Jesus is going to say, hold up. I was tempted. They killed me. They beat me. They put the crown of thorns on my head. They spit in my face. They crucified me and they buried me and they thought it was over. And I rose again and I told y'all how to get there. And let's go to look at verse 43. To him give all the prophets witness, all the prophets that are beforehand, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezra, Nehemiah, they all spoke of Christ. All types and shadows of Christ coming, that through his name, make a note, whoever, and I did look up whosoever, I did. All right. So y'all would make sure and not be confused on this. Let me find it. Whosoever. Okay, it says all, everyone, each, any, some of all type. There will be some of all type that get saved. So if you discriminate against people and tripping on people, you're going to have the problem, and you better hope you're saved. It says that whosoever believes in him. Now, word believes means to commit their life to Jesus Christ, should receive remission or forgiveness of sins. It always comes down to how do you have your sins covered? And don't tell me, Pastor, I don't commit sin. I'm good. Because that's not the truth. So I looked up the remission of sins. Which means forgiveness of sins. But look what it says. It means pardon, deliverance, liberty, release from bondage or imprisonment. So through Jesus Christ, we've been freed from our sins when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. That's a Happy New Year moment right there. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So as I was looking this up, and this time of year as we transitioning from presidents and all that kind of stuff, you understand, and most of us who are old enough to have been around, we understand that the president has the authority to pardon. If you're in jail, the president can say you are free to go, you are released, because the president has pardoned you. The president has forgiven you. And because he's the president, if the president has authority to forgive prison sentence, why shouldn't God have the authority to forgive sins? Arnold Ray James was given clemency, which means a shorter sentence to get out, by the president. So you got clemency and you got pardon. It's like you're out. Clemency says, I'm going to shorten your sentence by a few years. 10, 15, 16, you could look it up. He refused his pardon. He says, you know what? I don't like the conditions of my clemency, so I'm going to stay in and take my chances. Over the last, I made a note of it, 16 out of 30,000 people over the last few decades have refused their clemency or their pardon, said, I'm good, I don't want it. I don't like the conditions that it bring. I prefer to stay in jail. It's part of human nature, right? God offers a pardon of our sins. Some people say, you know what? I'm good. I don't like the conditions that come with it. I don't want to believe in Jesus Christ. You know what? I think every religion, I think there's another way. I'm going to take my chances. People do it all the time, in the natural and in the spiritual. And then you cannot stand before God and say, well, you know, I thought. Well, a thought is not going to get it. The word is what tells what's real and what's make believe. You don't have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of your sins, but you will stand before Christ and be judged by the judge who died for your sins. And when you see those nail prints in his hands, the sword, the spear in his side, and you're going to stand there and tell him you don't know what it was like to be betrayed. Right. What? You don't know what it was like living on earth. You're going to see the crown of thorns with the marks left on his head. You're going to tell him, well, you don't know what it was like, man. So people who to turn their back on you and said they called Hosanna, said, I love you. And the next thing you know, they stabbing me in the back. They pat me in the back. Then they stab me in the back. You don't know what that's like. Christ is just going to look. And you say, well, God, you don't know what it was like to see to have somebody in your family die, because we know death is painful. It said Jesus died on that cross. He told him in verse 39. They slew him and hang him on the tree. And when it talks about him dying, it says that he was, thank you, Brother Tommy. In verse 41, we say he rose from the dead. I look up the word dead. It said he's deceased. He was flatlined. He was gone. And we've all lost a loved one, man. It's painful and it hurts. But Jesus flatlined and he came back. So we can't tell him, well, you don't know what it was like to have when someone in your family you love die. He's going to say, hold up right there. I had to watch my son die, too. And my son was actually innocent. When we stand before God, there will be no excuses. Because God is offering a salvation plan. So because Jesus Christ split time in half, and that's what makes this whole new year so special. It should be like Happy Redemption Day. Happy Born Again Day. Happy New Life Day. That's what we really should be saying. Because when he resurrected, he redeemed those who would believe in him. Verse 43, and then we'll go ahead and take communion. To him gave all the prophets witness. Every prophet spoke of Jesus Christ, a type and shadow of Christ coming. Some even spoke specifically of how that a virgin would give birth to the Savior, and we'll call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. That through his name, whosoever commits their life to him and accept Jesus Christ into their heart as their personal Lord and Savior, him shall receive, you shall receive remission, forgiveness, pardon of your sins. And in case you don't know what sin is, sin means to miss the mark. It means offenses. If you've never offended anybody, then you don't need forgiveness. Anybody, you've never offended anyone. Right. I said if you've offended everyone. I did not say that, okay? I said if you've never. I said if you've ever offended everybody. I know you got it confused, brother. All right? John, will you leave me alone? I'm trying to be serious this morning, all right? It's a new year, okay? I'm trying to praise the Lord. Is that a sin is offensive? You can say, well, I've never offended anyone. Then you don't need forgiveness. It says to violate God's law. If you've never violated God's law, then you don't need forgiveness. It also says to wander away from the law of God. If you never kind of what we call backslid or strayed away, if you've never done that, then you're good. You are absolutely fine and you don't need Jesus Christ. You might need some help. Might need to see a psychiatrist or something like that. But you don't need Jesus. Oh, you need Jesus even more if you think you haven't. So let us, with that in mind, let us, as we take communion this morning, what a special Sunday this is. It is the first Sunday. It is New Year. It's our redemption day. It's a born again day. And we are fortunate enough to take communion to remember what Christ did for us. Brother Anthony, if you would, and Brother John, if y'all would serve communion this morning. Set that right there. And Sister Brandy, let's go to, where are we at? 1 Corinthians 11:23. If you would, if you have your Bible and you want to turn to 1 Corinthians 11, 23. Talks about on the night when Christ was betrayed, how he broke bread with his disciples and gave thanks. And I remember being in Israel and we went to the upper room where they broke bread. It is a really special, powerful place. Family, as we reflect on what Christ did for us, it's again, I think I mentioned it last week. It's not Marvel or DC Comics. It's not Mount Olympus. It's not mythology. We actually went to this upper room where Jesus Christ broke bread with his disciples on the night before he was betrayed. It is actually still there. The evidence is there. Our commitment to Christ is not clear as the evidence. That's what we have to examine as we're taking communion. If you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, yes, you may take communion. You don't have to be a member of a church to take communion. You just have to be a member of Christ in your heart. It's not based on what you did. It's based on what Christ has done. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Go to the next verse 24. And when he had given thanks, remember he was betrayed. That's why we have to be able to forgive those who have wronged us. Christ was betrayed, but he still gave thanks. Maybe you were betrayed in 2017, but here you are in 2016, but here you are in 2017 giving thanks. Still give thanks. And you have to take it a step further. You have to forgive all those that wronged you. There's no way we can ask God to forgive us when we refuse to forgive those who have wronged us. It does not work like that. The word specifically says, if you don't forgive the others, then you can't expect your Heavenly Father to forgive you. We got to let them go. It's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to get sick. That unforgiveness is a beast. Doesn't matter what they've done. When Christ was on the cross, he said seven last things. The first thing he said of the seven was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If he was able to be on that cross and forgive those and even save the thief, he told him, today, you shall be with me in paradise. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The thief didn't have to say any Hail Marys. He didn't have to get baptized. He didn't have to speak in tongues. He said, God, save me. Remember me. And God saved him right there. And he forgave everyone who put him on that cross, including us, because of our sins. God, thank you. Happy Redemption Day. Happy Newborn Again Day. Happy Resurrection Day. Happy New Life Day. Elevate that which represents his body. When he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Because God knew there would be wars and rumors of wars. There'll be jobs. There'll be marriages. There'll be divorce. There'll be kids. There'll be life. There'll be death. There'll be births. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Keep your life in biblical perspective. Put the world in biblical perspective. Look at the world through a biblical set of lens. Don't ever forget that Christ died for us and that he's coming back. When you're torn in the midst of the storm, remember Christ is coming back for us and he died for our sins. Go on and eat that which represents his body. Then elevate that which represents his blood. Next slide, Brandy. Thank you. Next verse. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. Elevate that which represents his blood. We thank you, Lord, that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Lord, we didn't have to work for it. We just have to accept it. We accept your pardon, Lord. We accept the conditions that come with it. That if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. And if we believe in our heart the Lord Jesus, we shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart belief is made unto righteousness. We accept you, Lord, we believe you, and we thank you for the forgiveness of our sins and dying on the cross for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go on and drink that which represents his blood. Pass them to the center aisles. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. Thank you for dying on the cross for us over 2,017 years ago. Thank you for splitting time in half. Thank you that every time we look at a calendar, we're reminded that something happened. Every time a new day greets us, we're reminded that something happened. And that something was you resurrecting from that grave in order for us to be saved. Thank you for rescuing us, Lord, from death, hell, sin, and the grave. The grave is not the final resting place. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We'll be present with you forevermore. On this side, and when we transition, we thank you for that. And we bless you. May we share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone every day of the new year. Send them into our life, Lord. Let us be light, salt, and love. We thank you and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed.